This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
What are you saying?
All rainbows and
unicorns. Okay. Welcome on board WKOK Sunrise, where hope abounds, rainbows and unicorns. And Joe Lundberg says if it were March 13th, he would announce the end of winter. But
that'd be my birthday, too.
Oh, good for you. Well, happy birthday. Yeah, right around the corner. You're going to be 30 again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, isn't that always funny? Okay. So, thank you for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Kelly Filer is with us, president of the Regional Engagement Center. We've had so many updates over the last couple of years. Of course, we started talking to you about the wreck, 2016, 2017 or so?
2016. We did a whole year of our programming at Susquehanna University with one of our signature programs, the Teen Leadership Club, even before we opened our doors in 2017. So, yeah, we passed our five or die mark, so it's pretty exciting.
Great. Well, Regional Engagement Centers, the REC in Sealands Grove, I just think of it as a community center, but just a quick glimpse. Now, we're going to focus on the intergenerational concept in a moment here, but just let's do a quickie update. The REC by definition is?
The REC by definition is an intergenerational community center where our signature programs currently are our after-school drop-in program, where the kids receive mentoring, tutoring, just a chance to hang out in a safe and supervised environment. We have about 200 kids registered for that right now, and at least about 70 were there pretty much each day after school last week. It was a busy week. And then our summer camp is already having, we have about 12 kids signed up for summer camp already, which is a full day, you know, almost full summer camp for the younger kids. We also do an exercise class. I teach the exercise class Monday through Friday there. And we do, like this weekend coming up, we have a day of belonging with an intergenerational day of belonging with the Susquehanna Valley Mediation Center, where we're going to sit around and do, they're going to lead story circles and do some arts and crafts that go along with it. We'll have lunch. Just a really neat day. It's one of the projects, one of the United Way initiatives through their diversity and engagement.
All right, we'll have to talk more mm-hmm. about that. You survived the pandemic. Nonprofits had such a struggle to keep going.
You know, we went completely virtual during the first year of that, but what we also did was really did a food bank, and that's one of the biggest carryovers since the pandemic for us, is we served so many people with the food bank, you know, doing the drive-by food bank and the mobile pantry that we were doing with Michael Bussing, and that we still, right now, we're doing twice a week. We pick up food from Giant Foods, and so we give about 20 boxes of food out every week still. So that's a neat need that we're able to continue to meet in the community.
All right. Well, and then I think that really just emphasizes what my cursory definition of the REC would be, just a community center. I mean, you know, drop in, you can have camps, you can do all these day of belonging, you mm-hmm. can use it as a facility or just a rental facility. I know some folks that rented it for a party, so it's there for that. But this idea that if there's an unmet community need that either a facility or some volunteers can meet, often the REC is there for that. And of course, you hung in there during the pandemic. When
Youth and Philanthropy used us for a whole day.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
The Community Giving Foundation. It's just a neat place to, you know, gather large groups of people. You know, have a wedding, have a, you know, a gathering of young people.
Isn't that
cornhole?
Teaching young people to share. I just love that whole program.
Too.
I just can't get over how helpful that must be to future generations. All right, when did the idea of the intergenerational focus that might include housing and other programs, where did that come in?
That really came, I'm going to give a lot of credit to my exercise class and to my background in gerontology. You know, I do have my master's in social work, and I specialize in gerontology because I tell people I really like old people. That's my favorite generation. one. But
you could strive to be one.
I'm getting there real, real close. And that could be part of the...
It goes back to that May 5th thing we talked about.
Yes. But it was during that time, during the pandemic, actually, when the Sealand Grove Inn went up for sale again, where I really thought about, I was putting all the pieces together, where I was hearing about social isolation, mental health issues were, you know, being discussed. And, you know, one of the ways to alleviate social isolation is to intentionally create intergenerational contact zones, where no matter what you're doing, you're most likely doing it with people of lots of different ages, whether you're outside on a sidewalk, whether you're inside playing cards, whatever it is you're doing. And the benefit of those for people's mental and physical health that are documented all over the place. And so, you know, I pictured a campus setting where, you know, people could live, where our youth programs are going on at the same time, where the people who live there, the seniors who live there, can also be the volunteers or not. You know, maker spaces is another part of what we're working on right now, also with the United Way and others, so that we can, you know, really foster spaces where kids and adults and seniors can tinker with arts and crafts, nutritional arts, graphic design, you know, wood burning projects and things like that, to be, you know, continually using your brain and staying engaged. And that's kind of what I envisioned. And whether that was going to be at the Sealands Grove Inn or not, that's a model that is taking root in a lot of communities across the United States with great success.
All right, so that intergenerational vision is emerging as time goes on, and it seems like the Sealands Grove Inn, which happens to be for sale at that time, would be an ideal campus on which to place all this. There's a lot of open space there, so that kind of gives you options. But that's been sold to other owners, so that's kind of out of the picture. But along the way, you picked up a $2 million grant.
Right.
So what
was nice is the inn gave us a chance to put the vision on paper, and so we were able to write the grant. We were, you know, awarded the grant. It was a highly competitive one, and for an intergenerational community life center. It wasn't at any particular space. It is to create this, you know, viable vision. And once we get it operationalized, it's going to be a really, really cool thing for Snyder County.
Okay, so where are you looking now? You can't have the Sealands Grove Inn. Fortunately, in and around Sealands Grove, there are other open spaces around.
There are lots of options when you sort of take a step back, look at the whole county. But most important to us still is location, location, location. You know, the best thing about where we are right now is that the kids can walk there after school and that we're just accessible to all, which is one of our core values as a nonprofit. So wherever we are, it needs to be within walking distance. So I am definitely keeping that in mind. Transportation is part of the grant also, you know, being able to have a vehicle to get people to different places, or to provide that mobile pantry again. But still, most ideally is kids can just walk there.
Are you working on any particular tract of land or building or partners or other folks or existing buildings? I can't even imagine. I mean,
having some talks, and it is very exciting. You know, maybe we'll hear something in the next couple of weeks about some potential designs. But if that doesn't work, you know, we've got time. I'm excited and inspired. There's a lot of people from Penn State also who help out a lot.
Yeah, so who are some of your allies to get to this point? You're frequently talking about the United Way, so they're on board. Of course, Senator Gordner, now a special counsel at the state Senate, was an ally. He helped make sure that your application got expedited and approved for the $2 million grant. I think I saw on your social media over the weekend, $250,000, a donation.
Yes, you know, last year was such a rough year for all nonprofits, and everybody struggled nationwide. And it just was really, really nice to have, you know, most of our funding comes in at the end of the year, which is something we're fixing this year, instead of like waiting to the end of the year to do all of our donor visits, which is what we've typically done. But that was just such a surprise this year. And someone who just responded, it was anonymous. And it was just someone who truly responded to what they see us doing in the community, you know, kind of how we're being treated, and just wanting to uplift the mission.
Okay, and I recall you launched a bit of a capital campaign not too long ago, sort of very quiet campaign, seeking $50,000, right? Was that last year or early this year? Okay, I see your foreheads squished together, so not happen. But anyway, in any event, $250,000, there were grant requires local match. I do recall
true,
that.
True. But you know, we're not enacting the grant at this point in time. We're putting that gift in a reserve fund because last year was so stressful in terms of, you know, making it. We don't ever want to be in a position again of, you know, worrying about making payroll because what we do is too valuable.
All right. So tell our audience what is next. We got about a minute left. So what's next for the Intergenerational Community Life Center?
Well, we're going to begin with hosting many things at the rec that we are in right now, like the Intergenerational Day of Belonging. During summer camp coming up this summer, we're already planning with the Weaving Wisdom, Dr. Grace Hampton and Jason Reed from the Perry County Council of the Arts, so that we can do a big end of summer intergenerational festival again. And there'll be lots of other opportunities coming up too. Our bingo was a wonderful thing at the end of January, and we'll be doing some family events in February as fundraisers, some like family-friendly events and trivia nights. So just lots of things to keep us engaged up until something actually happens.
Well, it's the Regional Engagement Center.
Exactly.
So that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, in Perry County, some sort of an extra dedication to the arts down there. I don't know.
What's really neat is that this one particular artist, he is a Juilliard-trained dancer, and he comes and he seeks us out each year. He's like, you guys have a great program. He is so skilled at like helping us work with our counselors and really gets the kids to bring out their most creative side.
Kelly Feiler, how can people reach you if they have questions or observations or another $250,000 laying around?
You know what? We will take it. We will put it into such good use for the future generations. www.sealandsgroverec.com. You can email me at Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, at sealandsgroverec.com. Or call us at 884-3316.
Kelly Feiler's president of the Regional Engagement Center. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Mark.